Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear respected students, may Allah bless you all for your attendance. Today we are covering The Days of Ignorance by Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab. Just a quick reminder, please take notes, listen attentively, and send your questions over to me throughout the course of the lesson. And with that said, I'll hand it back to the Sheikh. Sheikh, I will be going for Isha in 1 hour, if that's okay.
Inshallah, then we'll continue, inshallah.
Jazakallah khair. Okay. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna alhamdulillah. Ahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina. ومن سيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد my dear brothers and sisters in Islam today is our weekly class مسائل الجاهلية the issues of jahiliyyah which the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم acted to the contrary of such practices by the people of Jahiliyyah before Islam. And it is issue number 14, al-Mas'ala al-Rab'ata, al-Rab'ashar. Here in this Mas'ala, it says, أن كل ما تقدم مبني على قاعدة وهي النفي والإثبات قاعدة النفي والإثبات فيتبعون الهوى والظن ويعرضون عما جاءت به الرسل. So this particular this مسألة in connection to the previous masail and issues, that what sums up all these jahili practices and the practices of the people of the days of ignorance, that everything has been mentioned, he said, the author is saying, everything has been mentioned previously is based on their principle, which is states that, which is actually this principle or this rule they followed, based on denying and affirming. What does that mean, based on denying and affirming? They denied what Allah affirmed. They denied what Allah affirmed and affirmed what Allah denied. They are doing acting to the opposite of what Allah said. Allah affirmed a particular practice or ruling. So they do the opposite. So they denied what Allah affirmed and affirmed what Allah denied. Allah said, do not do these things. They said, no, we will do them. And this is actually the definition of jahiliyyah. Jahiliyyah, it's a mindset rejecting what the Creator said, and you do the opposite of what Allah said. So that is in a nutshell what Jahiliyyah is. So they denied what Allah affirmed and affirmed what Allah denied. In other words, they were just following their own desires, vain desires and whims, and guessing and speculation, and turning away from what Allah has revealed. They leave the haqq, they leave the truth, and they follow their own whims and desires. They follow the hawa. So this is jahiliyyah. When you reject the guidance and you follow your own feelings, your own desires and what you like, and even if this, what you like, is going to make you suffer, make you your life miserable, make you having bad times, because you just think for that momentary pleasure you will get. You don't think of the consequences because you are just worshipping your desires. Indeed, you are actually a slave. You are being enslaved by your own desires. And that is exactly what the people of Jahiliyyah were. They were enslaved by their own desires. And of course, who beautified these things for them? No doubt, the cursed one, their open enemy, the shaitan. The shaitan is the one who beautifies sins and make them alluring and attractive and convincing that these sins are something good to do, and he tried his level best to justify for you your perpetration of such sins. So it's the shaitan at the end of the day is the one who is misleading them. So the wise person is the one who follows the revelation, not following his own whims and desires. So if you follow your whims and desires, then they are just acting like the people of the days of ignorance. There's no difference between you and them. And this is very, very comprehensive hukum or rule, and it's applicable to all types of innovations, misguidance, all types of acts that are opposing and different to the what Allah revealed. This boils down to following one's whims and desires. You find the people who innovate in the deen, for example, people who follow the bid'ah and innovations, they are following their whims and desires. They're not following the revelation. They're not following what Allah said. They're not following what the Prophet ﷺ said. So this rule is applicable for any deviation from the revelation. Any deviation. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he said, وَأَصْلُ الضَّلَالِ اتِّبَاعُ الظَّنِّ وَالْهَوَى مجموع الفتاوى المجلد الثالث صفحة 384 وأصل الضلال اتباع الظن والهوى. The meaning, he said, the origin and the basis of all types of deviation, misguidance, the common denominator, the foundation upon which the people justified for themselves their deviation, اتباع الظن, is following one's guessing, conjecturing, following one's conjecture and desires. Then you don't have certainty. You're not sure. You guess. Whereas what the deen or the revelation tells you yaqeen, certainty. You know, but if you are guessing, you are only speculating. So merely you are speculating and you're following your own speculations. So this is the asl, this is the origin. You find all deviant philosophies and thoughts based on this, guessing. There's no certainty, speculation. And that's why you find these conflicting opinions, because everyone is following his own guessing. I think it is like this. His own speculation. Oh, I think it is like this. This is what I think of it. Which, okay, and I think it's no. I think differently from what you think. And the third one. So whom to follow? Okay. Should I follow your speculation, or mine, or his, or theirs? Oh. And that's why what the people will be suffering and confused. Don't you see? When you study these deviant thoughts and philosophies and see the conflicting views, and this one is refuting this one, and this one is refuting this one, and this one is trying to justify his stance, etc. And none of them is having the truth. Everyone is following his own feelings, his own desires, and what he thinks right. Is this what you think right based on proof, evidence? No. Intuition based on guessing, based on conjecture. That's it. I'm speculating. This is what I think. This is my opinion. And that's what makes humanity to suffer. Human beings are suffering because of that. Okay? Don't you see the different ideologies? In the last century, communism was quite rampant in many countries. What happened to the communism and the communist system? Collapsed, finished, gone. Because it's not based and built and establish upon strong foundation. It's far away because it's based on atheism, no God. And religion, as Karl Marx said, it is the opium for the nations. He called the religion or the deen. Did it last? No, gone. Because it goes against the fitrah, the nature of a human being. And all the ideologies, they will go and they will collapse. And humanity is suffering. And humanity is looking for a way out from this Right, this dilemma. This is it, as Sheikh Islam said, Asrul Dalal, the foundation, the origin, the source of all types of misguidance, deviation, is this following your own guessing, your own speculations, and besides your own desires. And naturally, a human being is selfish and he loves himself. And he wants to enjoy his life as much as he can, especially if he is far away from the divine guidance. And he doesn't believe in another life, etc., or next life. So this is the core, this is the root cause of all this suffering that humanity is going through. So when Sheikh Al-Islam said this statement, because he, Allah blessed him with the vision and the insight for the innovator, for example, or the caller to any misguidance or to any bid'ah, he's either a learned man, he knows what he's doing. I hope that you are taking notes. So the one who is following innovations, this caller to the misguidance, inviting the people to misguidance, is either a learned man, he knows what he is calling the people to is wrong. He knows that. Yet he's doing it because it suits his own whims and desires. So he knows what he's calling the people to is wrong. He knows that. But this gives him worldly benefit. So he's following his hawa. Or an ignorant person. Either he's a learned man, and in that case, he's following his whims, his hawa, his desires, or an ignorant person. And in this case, he is following the one who lacks knowledge and merely follows one conjecture, guessing, speculation. He's not sure. Okay. He's an agnostic, for example. I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know. So all you can see that, as the Sheikh Rahimahullah said, that all they go to that root cause, following the speculations, conjecture, or following one's whims and desires. This is the root cause of all types of misguidance and deviation. So the people of Jahiliyyah, my dear brothers and sisters, they were following their own hawa, their own desires. That's one. And on top of that, besides that, lack of knowledge, lack of ilm, knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 87. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابِ وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ وَقَفَّيْنَا مِنْ بَعْدِهِ بِالرُّسُلِ وَآتَيْنَا عِيسَى ابْنَ مَرْيَمَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَيَّدْنَاهُ بِرُوحِ الْقُدُسِ أفكلما جاءكم رسول بما لا تهوى أنفسكم استكبرتم ففريقا كذبتم وفريقا تقتلون. إن شاء الله tells us here about this group of people who followed their own whims and desires. Indeed, we gave Moses the book, the Torah, and sent after him successive messengers to Moses. And we gave Jesus, son of Mary, clear proofs and supported him with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is Jibril, the archangel. Why is it that every time a messenger comes to you with something you do not like, you become arrogant, rejecting some and killing others? Subhanallah. See, this is it. The truth has come to them. But again, the two things. Desires and speculations. Conjecture. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابِ. We have given Musa alayhi salam the book, the Torah. وَقَفَّيْنَا مِنْ بَعْدِهِ بِالرُّسُلِ. And followed him and came after him. He was succeeded by many messengers. وَأَتَيْنَا عِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ. And we have given Jesus Christ, the son of Mary, the proofs. Because Jesus Christ, Isa alayhi salam, said, I did not come to break the law. I'm following the law, the Torah. And he said, I'm only sent for the lost sheep of Israel. So Allah supported him and gave him the proofs, and he showed them the miracles, healing the blind and the curing the blind and the lepers and the giving life to the dead by Allah's permission. He showed all them these proofs to them. And he was supported by the Archangel Jibreel alayhi salam, and Allah posed this question to them. فَكُلَّمَا جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ بِمَا لَا تَهْوَى. Again, you see, تَهْوَى أَنفُسُكُمْ. Why is it that every time a messenger comes to you with something you don't like, your nafs, yourselves, do not like? بما لا تهوى أنفسكم. استكبرت. Because you don't like, because you are worshipping your own selves. And this is very dangerous, my dear brothers and sisters, when you worship your own selves. That is your hawa. This is an idol. Your ego. This hawa is your God. You worship it. And you obey this hawa, this whim, this desire. That's your God, the hawa. أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَٰهَهُ هَوَىٰ. Have you seen the one who has taken his own hawa, his own desires, and his own whims as his God? His deity, he worships only the desires. So if you worship your own desires, and you're following your own desires, that is your God. You know, in the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ta'ash 'abd al-dirham, ta'ash 'abd al-dinar." Woe to him, the worship of the dirham and the worship of the dinar. Dirham is gold, dinar is gold, dirham is silver. So he is worshipping money. So his God is the money. How many people today, their God is the money? Money, that's it. So you see again, hawa, desires, and lack of knowledge. Dhan. فكلما جاءكم رسول بما لا تهوى أنفسكم استكبرتم. What's wrong with you? Every time messenger comes to you with something you don't like, you become arrogant. You reject what the messenger came with. Because what the messengers and prophets bring is to be applied, inviting you towards righteousness, piety, shunning and telling you to shun and quit sinning. You don't want that because you worship your desire. That's why you oppose and you fight the messengers and prophets. And this is throughout history. You find there is a strong opposition against the reformers, against the reformers. The reformers who are peacemakers, who are trying to reform the community. The community is drifting and moving in that way, and they're sinking in the mire of immorality, and they're trying to steer the ship to the right direction, bring them to the right path. We find those who worship the desires, those the advocates for the wickedness, for immorality, they oppose them and they fight. Because their God is their desires. So, and you want them to worship Allah. No, they don't want that. They want to continue worshiping their God, which is their own whims and desires. So that's why they reject the truth that comes upon the tongues of the prophets. And not only that, they fight and they resist the message. They reject the message of the prophet and they fight him. فَفَرِيقًا كَذَّبْتُمْ وَفَرِيقًا تَقْتُلُونَ. This is what they did. Rejecting some and killing others. Imagine that you kill a prophet. What for? What justification do you have? What justification do you have to kill a prophet? A prophet? They're all prophets of God, protected, invaluable. So what crime did this prophet commit? Nothing. But because he is calling you to leave your own desires, to leave that idol which you worship, that's why you killed him, because you don't want to leave your idol, your God that you worship. Also, I said in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Ayah 77, قل يا أهل الكتاب لا تغلوا في دينكم غير الحق ولا تتبعوا أهواء قوم قد ضلوا من قبل وأضلوا كثيرا وضلوا عن سواء السبيل. لا إله إلا الله. Allah says, Say, O people of the book, do not go to extremes in your faith beyond the truth, nor follow the vain desires of those who went astray before you. They misled many and strayed from the right way. What a beautiful ayah. Allah is addressing the people of the scripture, people of the book, and telling them, لا تغلو في دينكم. Should not have غلو. You going to extremes. Be moderate. Strike the balance in your life. Don't go to extremes. Because the moment you go to extreme, you will be suffering. You'll be suffering. Because you are going to drift away from your own nature, your fitrah. For example, I should not marry. This is going to extreme. Because that goes against my nature. Any human being, he has the tendency and the inclination to have family, to get married, so that he will have balanced, stable life. That is the natural feeling, any human being. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He implanted and He embedded that feeling in each one of us. And now to go against that feeling, against your own fitrah, against your own nature, you will start to suffer. Because I have to suppress and put this feeling under my control, which is beyond my capacity. Because something I cannot handle. Because the one who created me, he created me for a purpose. To worship him, to multiply on earth, have children, have communities, nation, population. That's why he made a man and a woman, and he made them like each other and have this feeling towards each other, and everyone inclines and have this affinity towards the opposite sex, so that they will get together and they will marry each other and will have children and form family and family and family community. And that's how we will populate and populate the planet, the earth. So that is the wisdom behind the legislation of the marriage. Now to come against this and asking me not to get married, and they have to lead righteous and upright conduct, it's difficult. Something beyond my control, a capacity as a human being. So that's the ghulu, because you are going to extreme. You go going to extreme. And that's why the Prophet, when he heard some of the Sahaba saying that we are not going to marry women, and another one said, I will not break my fast, and another one said, I will not sleep the night, I will pray the whole night. So the Prophet felt that this is the beginning, the seed of extremism, seed of ghulu. Imagine you are the whole night praying. This body needs to take rest. You need to sleep. So you will sleep during the day, naturally. The day meant for you to earn your livelihood, not to sleep. But because you were playing the whole night, you cannot work during the day. Or if you don't marry women, what will happen? I don't marry, you don't marry. So what will happen to the human race? Extinction. All of us will become like the dinosaurs. We will not be existing anymore. Will not be existent anymore. Because the marriage is this process for that the human race will continue to exist. There will be multiplication. There will be children. The parents, they pass away. They left children behind. They will grow up and they will get married and they will have children and then they will move and they will be replaced by their children, etc. So to go against that feeling, the fitrah, it will be chaos. Okay. And then suffering and misery starts. So Allah's saying, O people of the scripture, do not go to extremes. لا تغلو في دينكم غير الحق. So you go to extremes and you leave the truth. And always, always, the revelation, what Allah imposes on us, is always inviting us to be moderate, not to go to extremes. Not to go to extremes. And all the revealed teachings and commandments, they are bearable. They are easy to implement within our capacities. Nothing there in the religion which is beyond your capacity. Nothing. So Allah is telling the people of the scripture, do not go to extremes in your faith beyond the truth. And then he warned them, وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا أَهْوَاءَ قَوْمٍ قَدْ ضَلُّوا. Nor follow the vain desires of those who went astray before you, nations before you. They went against their own natural disposition, against their own fitrah. So they went astray. They went astray. So don't do that. Otherwise, what happened to them will happen to you, and you will also go astray. أَهْوَاءَ قَوْمٍ قَدْ ضَلُّوا مِنْ قَبْلُ وَأَضَلُّوا كَثِيرًا. They went astray and they misled also others to go astray from Allah's way. You see, the evil fruit and the negative consequences when one leaves the divine guidance and worships his own whims and desires and follows his own feelings, his own speculations, his own conjectures. Also, Allah says in Surah Al-A'raf, ayah 175, telling us about people who followed these two things. Hawa and dhan. Remember these two things and check yourself. Do you have these two? Are you following your own hawa, your own whims and desires? Or are you following your guessings, your speculations, your conjectures? وَاتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ الَّذِي آتَيْنَاهُ آيَاتِنَا. This is Surah Al-A'raf, Ayah 175. وَاتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ الَّذِي آتَيْنَاهُ آيَاتِنَا فَانْسَلَخَ مِنْهَا فَأَتْبَعَهُ الشَّيْطَانُ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْغَاوِينَ. Allah is saying, and relate to them, O Prophet, the story of the one to whom we gave our science, Bal'am bin Ba'ura, one of the people of the scriptures, was a man Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him knowledge. But he abandoned them. He abandoned them. So Satan took hold of him and he became a deviant. What? Because he followed his own hawa. So Allah is telling our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, watlu alayhim, read and relate to them and inform them the story of Bil'am bin Ba'ura, the story of the one to whom we have given our signs. Atainahu ayatina. Allah has given him this ilm, the knowledge, the signs, the proofs of the truth. Fansalakha minha, which is the Quranic expression. Fansalakha minha. Salakha is to remove something forcefully. Like when you remove the skin, that is called salkh. You skin the animal and remove the skin, that is called salkh. Salakha al-dhabiha. So he is removing the skin of the slaughtered animal. And the skin is touching the flesh. So that's why you see the butcher is using his knife to pull down the skin. You cannot easily remove the skin. So you have to use the knife to help you to remove the skin. See what happened to him? فَانْسَلَخَ مِنْهَا. He came out of that iman. He's out of the iman. His religious commitment, his religiousness, his devotion, he came out of that. He came out of these ayat and these proofs. He left everything behind. فَانْسَلَخَ مِنْهَا. فَانْسَلَخَ مِنْهَا. He abandoned and deserted all these ayat that were given to him. And salakha minha. But he abandoned them. Ah, see what Allah is saying. فأتبعه الشيطان. شيطان my dear brothers and sisters, he works on you. There is a story, I read it in the books, the ulama mentioned. They said one man had a dream and he saw the shaitan in the dream. And the shaitan was carrying bundles of robes, a bundle of robes, long robes, medium and short ones. So he asked the shaitan, what are you using these robes for? And the shaitan told him in the dream, the short ones, these short robes, for the woman. It's very easy for me to pull their leg. I throw this rope around their legs and I pull them and they fall. They are easy for me, the woman. And that's what the shaitan does to the woman. Okay? If a man praises her and tells her, oh, you look beautiful, you look gorgeous, yeah? She falls into the trap. The Prophet ﷺ has said, إذا أقبلت المرأة أقبل معها شيطان وإذا أدبرت أدبر معها شيطان. So when a woman is heading towards you, shaitan tries to be her companion. And this shaitan is trying to make her appear to you attractive, even if she is ugly. And shaitan tells you, oh, have a look, have a look, look. And of course, he works on the woman and tell her before she leaves her house. Okay. You have to spend some time doing your makeup. You should look presentable. People should say, wow. So, before she leaves her home, though she is married woman and mother, etc. And now she has gone to the office. No, she has to sit at the dressing table for a while. Okay? Wearing her makeup. So that her boss will say, good. You're beautiful. And you know what that will lead to. So when the Prophet ﷺ is saying that when a woman is approaching you, shaitan makes her appear to you so beautiful. And also, أقبل معها, shaitan comes along with her. And now when she is leaving, also shaitan is telling you, wow, see her figure. And he will also tell her, okay, do some movement. Okay, so that you make him suffer. You make men suffer. So this short robe is for the women. For the women. So they can be easily deceived by the shaitan. And the human, of course, shayateen will make you star, will make you this and that. Model. So they believe these lies. And then the medium, he said, the medium are for those who are less than the ulama, less than the scholars, like students of knowledge and the like. I use this medium robes to pull them, to catch them. But the long robes, the long robes, he said the long robes for the scholars, the ulama. I cannot put them into my trap and the snare easily. So I have to make a long circle, like noose, the noose around them, this loop of the rope. And I throw this around them. And I just pull easily, little by little, until the rope becomes tight around his leg, I pull him. So it's not easy for me to mislead the scholar, but I work on it. So Bul'an bin Ba'ura was a scholar, but the shaitan worked on him, worked on him, little by little. فَانْسَلَخَ مِنْهَا فَأَتْبَعَهُ الشَّيْطَانُ. So Satan took hold of him. Okay, I got you now, I got you. And Shaitan has the strategy and the plan and the patience. He will work on you. That's why we have to be very careful, and especially the people of knowledge, they have to be very careful. Because the Shaitan and his allies are working on you to pull you into their trap, to trap you. So you have to be careful, and you have to be cautious, and you have to be fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you have to be careful, especially regarding women. Women. Women is the bait for men, whether he's a scholar or students of knowledge, women, the bait. And that's the weakness of any man. So one has to be far away from women. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said, مَا تَرَكْتُ فِتْنَةً أَشَدُّ عَلَى رِجَالِ أُمَّتِي مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. The biggest fitna, trial, test, that I fear most for the men of my ummah are women. Women. So you don't have khalwa with women. You don't go to places where there are women. As the Prophet ﷺ said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالدُّخُولَ عَنْ نِسَاءِ. Don't go and enter upon women. Lower your gaze. فَأَتْبَعْهُ الشَّيْطَانِ. So the shaitan is your enemy, and he has his own allies. And he, as Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, either through shahawat or shubuhat. This is his weapon. The technique the shaitan uses, shubuhat, doubt. Doubts. And what's the cure? Knowledge. And you don't have the knowledge. You're following one conjecture, guessing, speculation. So it's easy for the shaitan. You don't have ilm. But the remedy for the shubuhat is the ilm, the knowledge. If you have knowledge, if you have ilm, and shaitan cannot sneak and cannot enter through this window of the doubts, because it is locked, this door is locked. Because you have ilm, you are a person of knowledge, a learned man. Shaitan tries to come through the other entrance. Desires, shahawat. And he works in you through that. But if you, by Allah's grace, manage to lock these two doors, the gate of shubuhat by equipping yourself with the ilm, and the gate of shahawat by the taqwa and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then inshallah you will be delivered and you will pass this exam and this test with flying colors. فأتبعه الشيطان this بالعام بالعام بن بعورة. So Satan took hold of him. فكان من الغاوين and he became a deviant. Also Allah says in Surah Al-Jathiyah. See, all these ayat are related to what Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala said. This is, and that's principle, which is the people of Jahiliyyah just, they are following the van and the shahawat, the desires. Hawa and the van. So Allah says in Surah Al-Jathiyah, Ayah 23, أفرأيت من اتخذ إلهه هواه وأضله الله على علم وختم على سمعه وقلبه وجعل على بصره غشاوة وجعل على بصره غشاوة فمن يهديه من بعد الله فلا تذكرون. الله سبحانه وتعالى saying, have you seen, O prophet, those who have taken their own desires as their God? So you see, the desire becomes your own God. And so Allah left them to stray knowingly, sealed their hearing and hearts, and placed cover on their sight. Who then can guide them after Allah? Who then can guide them after Allah? Will you all not then be mindful? La ilaha illallah. أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهُ هَوَاهُ. I am worshipping my own whims and desires. That is my God. And when you worship your own desires, Allah leaves you. وَأَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى عِلْمٍ. No, Allah, leave you go. You stray knowingly, because Allah has given you free will. Allah will not grab you and stop you. Allah warned you, told you this way of destruction, this way of salvation. It's up to you now. And so Allah left you them to stray knowingly. Not only that, and he sealed. وَخَتَمَ عَلَى سَمْعِهِ. I want you to understand one thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you sin first time, he reminds you. And he sends a reminder to wake up. You sin again, another reminder. But if you don't understand these messages, then he leaves you. No reminders. No reminders. And everyone, I'm sure, experienced this. You are leading upright life and you did something. You received the lash on the spot. On the spot the first time. This is message. Signal. Tell you, come back. Wake up, repent, come back. So if you are wise, smart enough, you wake up and make istighfar and come back to Allah. But if you started neglecting these messages, warnings, these warnings that are coming to you, neglecting them, then Allah says, okay. You blame no one but yourself. وَأَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ. Allah then will let you go to follow your desires. وَأَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ وَخَتَمَ عَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِ. And on top of that, Allah seals and put a seal on his hearing. you talk to him, try to remind him, try to ask him to come back to Allah, all your words, they fall on deaf ears. Because his hearing is sealed. So your words, they don't touch his heart and they cannot enter. Because the heart is sealed with the Quran because of the sins. Because when you continue sinning, the first time you sinned, you felt the guilt and you bad about yourself. But if you continue, then it becomes normal. You don't feel anymore that pinch of the guilt in your heart, which means the iman is gone and your heart is dead. وَخَتَمَ عَلَى سَمْعِهِ وَقَلْبِهِ. So Allah seals his hearing, his heart. So he doesn't hear, he doesn't feel, and he doesn't see the truth because he's worshipping his own hawa, his own desires. وَجَعَلَ عَلَى بَصَرِهِ غِشَاوَةً. It's covering. There's a cover on his side. He doesn't see the truth. As Allah said, deaf, dumb, blind. Deaf, they don't know. Hear the truth, they don't tell the truth, and they don't see the truth. Then Allah said, فَمَنْ يَهْدِيهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ اللَّهِ. This one whose heart is sealed, his hearing is sealed, his sight is sealed. Who can guide him? فَمَنْ يَهْدِيهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ اللَّهِ. Who then can guide them after Allah? فَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. Will you not then be mindful? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from going astray. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from the tricks of the shaitan and the plots of the shaitan. May Allah strengthen our iman. And may Allah make us remain steadfast on this beautiful deen until we meet Allah. Find Him pleased with all of us. Ameen. May Allah forgive us our faults and mistakes and ignorance. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the beneficial knowledge of righteous deeds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite our ummah in the haqq and unite our hearts in the haqq. And may Allah protect our ummah. And may Allah lift all the tribulations and all the calamities and save our ummah from all the suffering that they are going through. And may Allah accept those who met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who left us, may Allah accept them as martyrs. And may Allah elevate their status in Aliyin. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring our ummah back to Him. And may Allah unite our hearts in the truth. And may Allah reward all of you, my dear brothers and sisters, immensely for your patience and attention. بارك الله فيكم جزاكم الله خيرا والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته، جزاك الله خير شكرا. Beneficial درس. Please send your questions to me until the host returns from Isha prayer.
Inshallah. Okay.
I've sent one. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I received one question. Okay. 1 minute.
Okay, do you want me to read it out or you will?
Okay, yeah, okay. I got it. Questions
okay.
Okay. After the salam, alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. What is your advice for a family which is divided in distributing inheritance? Group A, Once Sharia law applied, and Group B opposes this and wants it shared by common law. Of course, the Group A, they are correct. And they should not accept that the inheritance or the wealth to be divided according to the common law, because that in the common law or the man-made law, they will equate and men and women. So a woman will receive the same share like a man, and that is against, totally different, and it of course it is against the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a Muslim should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the just and he is the adil, and you should not be deceived by the shaitan for this transient and material benefits. So the tarika, which we call the tarika, the bequest, the wealth left, the wealth of the deceased, it should be distributed according to the Sharia law. If there is no Sharia law and where you are living, and for example, non-Muslim countries, even if it was divided according to the law of the country, the extra amount if you have taken, which is not yours according to the Sharia, the law, you have to give it back to the other inheritors. It's haram, totally haram. Second question says, if the hearts are sealed, how can one unseal it, either for themselves or advise others? Allah, out of His mercy, alhamdulillah, He did not close the door in front of us. When we quit sinning and turn to Him, He accepts us. And He removes the lock and He unlocks the heart. So the heart, locked heart, can be unlocked through the tawbah when someone turns. And that's why the conditions of the sincere tawbah, that you quit the sinning, you make up your mind, you determine not to go back. So you are sincere, you are not going back. Number three, if you wrong someone, ask for forgiveness from that one whom you wronged, mistreated. If you took someone's fourth condition, if you took someone's property, you have to give it back. Let's say someone stole something. You have to give it back to the person. No need to say, I stole this from you. In any way, by any means, it should go back to him. That's it. So there are conditions. If you want your heart to be unlocked, you make a sincere tawbah. And the fifth condition, that before the soul, you repent before the soul reaches your throat. So if these conditions are fulfilled, then the heart will be unlocked. I hope this is clear to the questioner.
Inshallah. The third one is there.
يا نمبر 3 دير اوكي ون مينيت. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. The man mentioned in the ayah who left the knowledge through shaitan, was he amongst the other prophets' nations or our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam nation? No, he is from the other nations that preceded us. Yes, actually from the people of the scriptures. Yes. Next question, please.
Give me 1 second, I just sent it just now.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. What can you tell us about the جزيرة العرب? How it is important to Muslims and also Palestine? Is Palestine part of it? جزيرة العرب is the Arabian Peninsula, and Allah chose it to be the cradle of Islam, cradle of Islam. So Allah made Jazirat al-Arab the cradle of Islam. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, لا يجتمع دينان في جزيرة العرب. No two religions should be there in جزيرة العرب, which means the non-Muslims should not live in جزيرة العرب. And of course, the ulama, they have different interpretations for Jazirat al-Arab. Is it the entire geographical location, or is it Mecca and Medina, these two cities? Okay. Palestine is not part of Jazirat al-Arab. Palestine is not part of Jazirat al-Arab, but Palestine is Ard al-Mubaraka, blessed land because of Masjid al-Aqsa, as Allah said, الَّذِي بَارَكْنَا حَوْلَهُ. So all these surroundings and the areas around the Masjid al-Aqsa are blessed. Yes. Next.
That was the last question, Sheikh. There's no more questions. If you'd like to finish.
That was the last question?
Yes, that was the last question, yes.
Okay. So no more questions, huh?
Yeah, unless you want to wait. And I'm hoping if no, inshallah, nobody sent their questions to the host because he's absent. If any of you sent your questions to the host, please resend them back to me. I'll give them a few minutes.
I don't want to end the session if there are questions, but if there are no questions, we will call it a day, inshallah.
Yeah, there's no questions.
Okay. Barakallahu feekum. جزاكم الله خير. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, protect you. May Allah bless your family. May Allah protect you from all evils. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate your status in this world and in Jannatul Na'im. Ameen. Until we meet insha'Allah in the coming session, I leave you in Allah's company and protection. في حفظ الله ورعايته. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.